Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur Brochos Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf to view today's marked Tosfos using the popular Gemara Markings system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. We turn to the top of Daf Mem Aleph. The Gemara said, "Divrei Hakol Mevorech Al Zeh B'Chozu Mevorech Al Zeh." This is a point at the Gemara, which was about 5-6 lines from the top of the Omid, Ula's statement regarding the Machlokes Tanoim in the Mishnah, where if you had several fruits, and one of which was one of the Shivas Haminim that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with. So the Tana, Reb Yehuda, said, you will make your brocha on the Shivas Haminim, and it will pater the other ones. It will exempt the other ones from brocha, and the Rabbanan said, you go with the Choviv, that which you prefer. However, Ula said, if they are different brochas, then everyone will agree, even Reb Yehuda will agree, that you make the bracha on that which you prefer. So the Rashi, the Tosfos quotes Rashi, Pirush Rashi, Kegoin, what's the case of Ein Birchusei and Shavois, that the brachas are not alike, Kegoin Tznoin V'Zayis. The Tznon would receive a Bori Pri Adoma, and the Zayis a Bori Pri Eitz. The Shuv Ein Kan Machloikes, Kevon She'ein Ho'echod Poiter Es Chavero. There is no machlokis between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in this case, because their machlokis arose only when the question of one fruit, the brocha on one fruit, would exempt the other. So which one do you choose for the exemption process? However, if it's a question of you're going to have to make two brachas anyway, as is the case with Tznoin and Zayas, so Reb Yehuda does not impose his shita. He doesn't impose or suggest his idea of giving priority to Shivas Haminim. Diafilu Reb Yehuda moida de'ein adifus b'Shivas Haminim. Even Reb Yehuda will concede there's no additional significance to the things Eretz Yisrael is blessed with in such a case when you have two different brachos. Elo mevorech al eze shiyotze tchile hechoviv loy. You make a bracha on whichever one you prefer, whichever one you want to make a bracha on first, the one that you like more. V'achar kach yevorech al hasheni. So you'll make your one bracha on the one you prefer more, and then you make and if it be Adoma, so be it. And if the second, and then the second thing that you prefer less is a Bori Pura, so then you'll make your Bori Pura Eitz, or the other way around. V'chein yesh leforesh de Reb Yehuda moed lechachamim, and we should explain. I'll say that the Reb Yehuda is the one that will concede to the chachamim. When you see the Gemara had used the expression when ein b'chasen shows, then everyone will agree. The question is, who is agreeing to whom? So Tosfos says that is the right pirush, to say that Reb Yehuda will agree to the Chachamim that you make the bracha on the one you prefer first. Hoyo velo pirush haGemara mutav, since the Gemara didn't explain who is agreeing to whom, so mutav shenomar, better that we should say sheyochid, namely Reb Yehuda moide l'rabim, namely the Chachamim. V'loi rabim moidim liyochid, and not the other way around. Not to suggest that the Rabbonon who originally said when they're the same brachas, you say choviv, that in the case when they're different brachas, so then you give priority to the Shivas Haminim. That we wouldn't say. But rather, it's more likely that the yochid, the single, the individual, is conceding or consenting to the opinion of the majority in this particular case of Ein Birchusei and Shavois. The Hikshah Rashi, and Rashi raised a question, the Livrichal Hatznoin V'Lifter as Hazayas, why not simply make your Bori Pri Adoma on the Tznon? And I know the Zayas is a Bori Pri Eitz, but we know that the Bori Pri Adoma has the potential power of exempting the Borei Pri Ha'etz, the Ha'atnan. How could that be? We learned the Ha'atnan Li'el, we've learned earlier, Birech al Peros Ilon, Borei Pri Adama. If a person made a Borei Pri Adama on a fruit of trees, which ordinarily gets a Borei Pri Eitz, Yotza, you have fulfilled your requirement. So that is Rashi's question. V'tireitz, and Rashi answers, the shiny hasam, the case referred to in this Mishnah of Birech HaPiros Ilon Borei Adama Yotza, that's a different case that doesn't match our situation. She'ein Shom Elochad Mino, the case of that Mishnah was there was only one item, the Torah Ubirech Borei Pri Adama, and you simply made a mistake and made a Borei Pri Adama on something that should have been a Borei Pri Eitz. So there the Mishnah says you don't have to make a brocha again. Aval Hocha, but our case with the Tznon and the Zayas, Kishabirich Borei Pri Adama al HaTznoin, Lo Potar Es Chavero, Shehu Borei Pri Eitz, a Borei Pri Adama on the Tznon isn't going to exempt the need for brocha on the Zayas, which is a Borei Pri Eitz. Afilu B'dievet, even post facto. Namely, once you made your brocha on the Tznon, you still will have to make a brocha on the Zayas. Gabi Uvdo de Bar Kapora. It was said before in the incident involving Bar Kapora back on the Flamites. The Birchas Borei Pri Huadomo Chashiva Tfe Mi Shehakoil. The Fi She Mivureres Tfe. In the incident involving Bar Kapora and the Talmidim, so there was a case of Pargios and Kruvador Maskin, and we saw in that discussion that the brocha of Borei Pri Adama was considered more significant than the brocha of Shehakol, because it's more specific. Shehakol is a very general brocha. The text doesn't have any allusion to a particular type of vegetation, whereas Borei Pri Adama refers to that which comes forth from the ground. And the more specific a brocha is, the higher level it is. So using that analogy, the brocha of Borei Pri Eitz is more limited. It's the Adama is the ground. Everything eventually grows from the ground. An Eitz is a tree. Not everything grows from trees. Hence, the Borei Pri Eitz brocha is more specific. And if that be the case, so why, according to Rashi, do we say in the case of Eitz versus Adoma, make a brocha on either on any one, either one that you prefer? There should be an insistence on making a brocha of Borei Pri Eitz, being that it is more mavuror, it is more specific than the Borei Pri Adoma, and hence on a higher level, and hence it should be given priority. So we answer v'yesh loimar. The loy choshev Borei Pri Eitz kol kach mi Borei Pri Huadoma. We're not going to. It's true there's a hierarchy, but when it comes to the difference between Borei Pri Eitz and Borei Pri Adama, it's not that much more significant, that much more important. Kemoi shechoshev Borei Pri Adama mi shehakol, as opposed to the gap between Borei Pri Adama and Shehakol, that difference is very great. So therefore, there's in the case of Zayas versus Tznon, Rashi can tell you make a brocha on either one, even if you happen to choose the Adama over the Eitz. They're almost on the same plane, as opposed to the case of a Borei Pri Adama versus a Shehakol. You will certainly choose the Borei Pri Adama over the Shehakol, because the Borei Pri Adama is much more specific than the Shehakol brocha. Uma shekosa b'halachas gedolos the Borei Pri Hoetz takdim le Borei Pri Huadama demivueres tfei. The halachas gedolos says that in fact, Borei Pri Hoetz shall come before the Borei Pri Adama, because it, the Borei Pri Hoetz, is more specific. Hainu, the ruling of the Halachas Gedolos, Lefi Hamaskona de Lekamon. That is correct and true according to the conclusion of the Gemara later on. Bear in mind, we are right now holding by Ula here at the top of Daf Mem Aleph. Later on the page, there the Gemara introduces additional Shitos, and according to the Gemara later on, the pligi b'she'ein b'rusein shavos, where, and if you have your diamonds in front of you, you can see the second diamond is in fact what Tosfos is referring to there. That shita that when the machloikis tanoim Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is not only when b'rusein shavos, but even in case of ein b'rusein shavos. V'kaimalon k'Rabbi Yehuda, and we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, which will give priority to chashivus over chaviv. Meaning, if you've got shivas haminim, he'll tell you do shivas haminim over non-shivas haminim, and so that you see in principle, Rabbi Yehuda emphasizes chashivus over chavivus, and therefore. Borei Pri Eitz being more choshev than Borei Pri Adama, you've got to have it first. Avo lahayin lishna, but the lashon that we're dealing with right now in the Gemara Ula, and also the first diamond, the amrinon dolo pligi b'shem b'chosen shavos, that there's no machlokes tanoim in the case of different brachas, then lo misukim psak of the halachas gedolos kidepi rationally, then the psak of the halachas gedolos becomes irrelevant or is it wasn't ever said in this context, in the context of these deos of ein birchosein shavos, that everyone will agree you can do whichever bracha you prefer first, like the shitas hachachomim. So all in all, we learned in this Tosfos, we touched on a couple of points, and the last part of the Tosfos was emphasizing the relationship between Borei Pri HaAdama and Borei Pri HaEitz. And that analysis all depends on which shita of the Gemara you are focusing on. If you're focusing on the early part of the Gemara that says, B'she'ei b'chosein shavos, everyone agrees you can make a bracha on whichever one, so then we won't emphasize the chashivas of eitz over adoma. But according to the latter shita, which Tosfos calls the maskona of the Gemara, then we would place an emphasis on the borei pri eitz over the borei pri adoma. The next Tosfos, meisvei hoyu lefonov tznoin v'zayas. The tznon was a borei pri adoma, and the zayas borei pri eitz. Mevorech al tznon, you make your bracha on the borei pri adoma, the borei pri adoma bracha on the tznon. Upoiter es zayas. That was a Tanaic source, and that was brought in to show that even if ein bruchosei on shavos, you are dictated. It is dictated to you the order of the brachos, or more accurately, which bracha you say, and not like what the Gemara suggested, when the brachas are different, you can choose whichever one. Uporach, so Tosfos is masbir what the Gemara's kasha was. Alma, you see from here, the mevorach borei pri ha'adama on the tznon, afilu liftar borei pri ha'etz. Afilu legabi zayas shehu mishivas haminim. So this Tanaic source was placing a heavy... of course, we're explaining the kasha level, not the answer yet. Just on the kasha level, the source seemed to indicate we totally disregard the fact that you've got a shivas haminim and borei pri ha'etz in the picture, and you make your bracha on the borei pri ha'adama. So. So, like, whatever happened to the ein b'chosein shavos point that make you broch on either one? V'kol shekein kloyos shehein kemoikein mishivas haminim demevorech aleihem borei pri adama liftor es ha tapuchim. And all the more so, Tosfos adds that if on the tznoin you would make a brocha tapati v'zayis, and the tznon is not from shivas haminim, imagine roasted grains, and grains being like chita, roasted wheat, is from the shivas haminim. So its borei pri adama would certainly be said if one is eating, let's say, roasted grains with apples. So you would certainly say, according to the source and according to the habamina, you certainly would say your bracha on the borei on the kloyos, the borei pri adama, to pater the apples. Lochain tsorich lahanhig ochi kideprecious. Kideprecious liel, be ein birchosein shavois, kemo tapuchim ukloyos. We'll translate this line, but we must emphasize that the Marsha asks on this very heavy question. But our in Gemara markings, Tosfos Shir, we're primarily interested in getting through the text of the Tosfos with a simple explanation of the Tosfos as it is. But over here, you have to look in the Marsha, and this is not a simple line whatsoever. But the Tosfos seems to be saying that as a result of this analysis, we should conduct ourselves in this way, that when you've got Ein Birchos Ayom Shavos, like in the case of Tapuchin versus Kloyos, you shall make your bracha on the Kloyos and have that pater the Tapuchim. It's very, very interesting to note, even though we're getting a little bit beyond the purview of what we just said before, Gemara Markings wants to stick to the pshat, there's a note on the side that we indicate with our little marking under the star to look at that note, that says that there's a totally different, or there's a major girsa problem in the way the Tosfos is set up. And the suggestion that the note on the side makes is that the word kidapricious, right before the star, is the end of the Tosfos, and the word li'el is actually a note that doesn't belong in the Tosfos text whatsoever, but is just it used to be on the outside of, in the margin of the page, telling you that the next Dibur HaMaschil, which would have been Ein Birchoseon Shavois, that's a new Dibur HaMaschil, and that should have been above. In other words, the Meisvei Dibur HaMaschil, this Tosfos, really would come after a Tosfos whose Dibur HaMaschil was Ein Birchoseon Shavois, because that phrase Ein Birchoseon Shavois was back in Ula's remarks before the Meisvei of the Tosfos. And then what is Ein Birchoseon Shavois? So Tosfos would have itself explained, like the case of Tapuchim and Kloyos. That would be an example of things that Ein Birchoseon Shavois, Tapuchim being Eitz and Kloyos being Borei Pri Adama. So that totally changes the picture of the end of this Tosfos. And not only that, but there seems to be an attempt to suggest that the Gra had such a girsa, but that is in parentheses at the end of this note. So that itself is questionable. Whatever the case is, we presented the Tosfos on its simple level, indicated that the Marsha has a problem with the psak at the end of this Tosfos, and we pointed out there might be an alternative girsa also regarding the end of the Tosfos. The next Tosfos, Omar of Yirmiya Lehakdim. The Gemara at this point has said that according to the Deya, that the Machloikis Tanoim Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim applies even in Ein Birchoseon Shavois, and Rabbi Yehuda would be insistent on saying the Shivas Haminim Brocha before you would say the Borei Pri Adama. The question had been, well, of what significance is giving priority when you're going to have to make the two brachas anyway? So the Rabbi Yirmiya answered that the significance would be in terms of order, not in, as we were learning up till this point, that when the brachas are the same, so the issue of Rabbi Yehuda of giving priority to the Shivas Aminim is for exemption purposes. Which one are you going to choose to make a bracha over in order to exempt something else? Here, the brachas, you're going to have to make both brachas anyway. Nevertheless, there still is an issue of giving priority to one over the other, to Shivas Haminim over the other, because I want to indicate its importance in terms of order of things. And brought out by the teaching of Rav Yosef, quoting Rav Yitzchok and citing the pasuk of the Shiva Semin Eretz Chita, Lusora Gef, Veteinu Rimon, Vechulei. The Tosfos is going to deal with a girsa issue, and it's going to focus on basically one letter. So we've emphasized this with our markings, squiggle underline the Dalid. The Dibur HaMaschil of the Tosfos was Omer Rav Yirmiya Lehakdim. De Omar Rav Yosef, then, and if the Rav Yosef, and where you see the triangle in our Gemara, the Vitam Rav Yitzchak, then went on to quote the Pasuk. So that the Dalid ties in Rav Yirmiyah's comment that the issue of Lahakdim is learned from Rav Yosef's, Vitam Rav Yitzchak's comment regarding the Pasuk. So the we continue now in the Tosfos. Pirush Rashi v'Hori lefi girsazu Asya ha di Omar Rav Yosef kol amuktam. It would come out that that which Rav Yosef says, Rav Yosef's teaching of kol hamuktam b'pasuk zeh muktam lebracha, and thereby featuring the pasuk to show that you give priority. The pasuk is giving, showing you how you give priority to the minim of Eretz Yisrael. So that, that comment of Rav Yosef is according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dafka. Then it turns out that Rav Yosef, who is an Amora, is making this comment, but within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who emphasizes Shivas Haminim. Avol Rav Shmaya Goris, and here's a point. We've, with our markings, we've indicated this is a long point. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Tosfos text how we've marked this with a nun and descending vertical dash line. Rabbi Shmaya Goris Omar Rav Yosef, without the Dalid. It's just parenthetically how in learning Torah, you know, even Torah Shebaal Peh, needless to say, psukim in the Torah, how letters make a world of difference. And if letters make a difference, then words certainly make a difference, and entire phrases can change the entire world. So even a letter makes a difference. And according to Rav Shmaya, the phrase Omar Rav Yosef does not have a Dalid accompanying, preceding the word Omar. That indicates that Rav Yosef's comment is not coming to illustrate what Rav Yirmiyah is saying. So Rav Yosef's comment is here in isolation. That's what Shmaya Goris Om Rav Yosef Hule, the Asya Aliba de Rabbanon, the idea of Kol HaMuktam B'Pasuk Zeh Muktam LeBracha could be within the Shitas of Rashita V'Rabbanan as well. U'mayri She'ein Chavivin Zeh Mizeh, and the context of order of brachas, order of choosing foods, is in a situation where one is not more desirable to the individual over the other. Oh, Aslina Basar Muktam, if you have two items that you don't really, you like with equal desire, so then we, then in order to determine which one you make your bracha on, you follow the order dictated by the pasuk. Even if you were dealing with a situation where you did prefer one over the other, pshita the chaviv kodem, then it's obvious that the chaviv, the more desirable food item, would come first. The ha'afivu b'shar minim, the gabi shivas haminim amri rabbanan, the mevorech aleze shiyirtze. The Chachamim place such an emphasis on Chavivus that even where you have a non-Shivas Haminim item, it will take priority over a Shivas Haminim. So all the more so when you're within Shivas Haminim and you have something that you prefer over something else, amongst the Shivas Haminim, so you choose the Shivas Haminim that you prefer. Umilsa de Rav Yosef, Milsa ba'ape nafsha. And the citation here of Rav Yosef's halacha of kol hamuktam b'pasuk zeh is a point, Milsa ba'ape nafsha, a point in isolation. In other words, it's not coming to illustrate that which was that was said just before in the Gemara. V'loi nihira. However, Tosfos is not excited about Rav Shmaya's approach, and we've marked this off with a long marking, a dalet indicating dechia, till the end of the Tosfos. So he says, this is not, doesn't appear to be the pshat. The besomach mashma de goros de Omar Rav Yosef. Later in the Gemara, it seems that we should be gores this with a dalet. The Asya Kributa Dafka, and Rav Yosef's comment is within Rabbi Yehuda alone. Only within Rabbi Yehuda. The Ka'omar, the Gemara says, Rav Chisra Rav Nuna have a Yasi B'Sudasa. This appears on Omid Beis. That with a story of Rav Chisra Rav Nuna sitting at a meal, and in that meal they were served Rimonim and Tamorim, and Rav Hamnuna made a bracha first on the Tamor, and Rav Chisra said, why are you making a bracha first on the Tamor? And that's the hemshich, the continuation of this quote is Amar Lei, Rav Chisra says to Rav Nuna in that story, Lo Savar Lo Amar Lo Hadar Rav Yosef the Amar Kola Muktam. Do you not hold from Rav Yosef that the one mentioned earlier in the Pasuk gets the bracha, and the Rimon, which you did not choose, is mentioned earlier than the Tamar that you did choose? And in that particular piece of Gemara, there was no attempt to say, well, what do you want from Rav Hamnuna? He preferred the Tamar. That's why he took it over the Rimon. Why didn't the Gemara say that? Because, as Tosfos says, we're not working within the Rabbanan who give emphasis or priority to Chaviv. We're working within Rebbe Yehuda, who places emphasis on the Shivas Haminim and the Pasuk. And therefore, Tosfos comes to the conclusion that the Rav Yosef citation is relevant to Shitas Rebbe Yehuda and not at all to Shitas HaRabbanan. One will find that the Tosfos HaRosh presents this matter in a clear fashion. So one can look over there. Tosfos HaRosh, Dibra Maso, Avol B'She'ein. The next Tosfos, B'mai Pligi. The Loshen of the Gemara was, if you say that the machloikis tanoim between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is even ein birchasein shavois, so what's the basis of the machloikis, the point of the machloikis, if you're going to have to say both brachas anyway? B'mai pligi klomar my taimo de Rav Yehuda de Omar shivas aminim odif. Why would Rav Yehuda say that shivas aminim is better? My adifus shaycha b'hu achar she'enon yicholim liftor shar aminim. What advantage does shivas aminim have when you have two different brachas are that you're going to have to make? That even if you choose shivas aminim to be first, it's not going to exempt the other one. Umeshani, and the Gemara answers to Adifus Have Min Hakdoma. It's simply a question of order. Granted, it's not going to exempt, but you have to make both brachas. Which one should you say first? The next Tosfos, Geffen Kidei Revias Yayin. This was already within the bracketed section of the Gemara where the Pasuk of the Shivas Aminim was cited as dictating different shiur, different quantities, and the vine or the grape was cited regarding kidei revias yayin lenozir. A nozir, as you know, is forbidden to eat grapes, wine, and grape vine products. So the Tosfos says, Pirush, im ochal olin oluvin, if the nozir ate the leaves or the tendrils of a vine, Kedei revias yayin, the amount that would displace a revias of yayin in measuring, we'll say, these solid items using a liquid standard, what we mean to say is how much would be required, how much of the olim and the luvin, the leaves and the tendrils, would be required to displace a revias of wine. Revias is a liquid measure, revias halug, and that means that if you had a cup, a receptacle, a container filled to the brim with wine, how much, what quantity of olin and luvin would be required to cause a displacement, in other words, spilling over the rim, a revias of wine. And then that amount of olin and luvin would be forbidden to a nazir. In other words, if a nazir would eat that, he would be violating his nazirus. So reading this line again, Pirush, im ochal, if a nazir ate oluvin kedei revius yain chayav. Avol im ochal mehem kedei revius mayim lo mechayev. Very interesting. If you were to take the same receptacle and fill it to the brim with water as opposed to wine, and then put an amount of olin and luvin into this receptacle filled with water, and there would be a displacement of a revius of water, that amount of olin and luvin consumed by a nazir would not be considered a violation. It would be too little. Why? It's liquid just like wine, isn't it? No. The Tosafot says, the klishi, the hoichin bekal chutz min akli. The viscosity level of water is less than that of wine. Hence, the displacement of a revius of water would take less material than to displace a revius of wine. The line here in Tosafot says that the klishi, that the that, that's a reference to the literally it's thin. But we refer to that the viscosity level of the water is less, and therefore it will flow over the rim of the kli faster. In other words, you'll achieve the displacement of a revius with less effort, with less material than to achieve a displacement of a revius of wine. Avol ki misharin biyayin, if when you make your estimation through a wine, tzorach shirutvei, you'll have to put in more olven and luvin to displace a revius of wine, more luvin and olven than to displace a revius of water. Shayayin uov, the viscosity level of wine is greater, it's thicker. Umachzik goydish ktsas koydim shipul minakos revius yayin. There, the goydish is the meniscus formed at the over the rim before the wine flows over. So, what you're doing is you're putting material. Your goal is to get a revius of wine to flow out, but the goydish, the pile up, the meniscus starts to appear. Develop as you're putting material in, and still nothing's flowed out of the cup. So you're going to have to add more olin and luvin to get your revius out of the cup. Vim hoya mayim hoya hayotze yoisim revius. Namely, what that means is if you were to take after, let's say you established how much olin and luvin you needed to get the revius of wine out. Now take that same quantity of olin and luvin and put that into a cup filled with water. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have more than a revius of water spilling over. That's what Tosis just mentioned at the end. Kli bali batim. The Gemara had mentioned that the rimon in the pasuk was used for establishing the size of a hole that would render a kli, a non-kli regarding tumah, if it's a hole the size of a pomegranate. And Tosis points out, Gabi Kli Eitz Misanyo. This teaching is within the realm of wooden vessels, because the standards of vessels and what ruins them or makes them non-vessels changes when you're dealing with different types of materials. Maseches Kalim, for example, is divided into three sections. There are 30 prokim in Maseches Kelim, which is in Seder Taras. It's divided into three parts: Kli Cheres, earthenware; Kli Eitz, wood; and Kli Mateches, metal. So Tosfos is simply pointing out that the standard of a Moitzi Rimoin to render a Kli Tohor is when you're dealing with wooden vessels. We turn now to Amud Beis, the Tosfos at the top. We had a story featuring Rav Chisda and Rav Hamuna, who were sitting at a meal, and they were served tamarim and rimonim. Tosfos says, Aisu v'kamayu tamri v'rimoni. They were served dates and pomegranates. V'lo l'lafes bohen esapas. The story did not involve them eating this together with bread. It wasn't, they weren't served this in order to have it, lafisus, to accompany the bread. To im kain, if it were, havo lupas ikur vehein tfeila, then the bread becomes the main food item and they become subsidiary, utnan, and in such a case, the Mishnah says, mivorech al ho ikru, poitres tfeila, the brocha would be recited over the main item, the bread, and that would exempt the fruits. So, in order for us to set up a scenario where the bracha is going to be recited over the fruits, and the question of the story involved the order, we have to set up the whole story involving a case where there was the fruits were not being served lelafis bohena esapas, to serve as an accompaniment to the bread. The next toisus, ze sheni laoretz, with a little star indicating our note on the in the inside margin, where we extracted from the pasuk the eretz word that appears at the beginning of the pasuk, and following that you have five items, chita, sora, gef, and tein, rimon, and the second eretz word in the pasuk has following it zeis shemen udvash, two more fruits. Toisus here, ze sheni laoretz, that's a reference to the dates, which is referred in the pasuk by the term dvash, and that's what Rav Hamnuna was based on. He took the dates because they're in the second position to the word eretz. Mikol mokom hecha deika chita v'zayas. Let's say you're sitting in front of two items, a wheat and a zayas, an olive. Wheat, we have a little marking in our Gemara, a 1 over chita and a 1 over zayas. Now, does anyone want to guess why we have 1s? So the answer to that is that chita is in a 1 position, the first item mentioned after oretz at the beginning of the pasuk, and zayas is the first one mentioned after oretz at the end of the pasuk. Or you have a case of oisar mutmorim, afagav deshoven laretz, even though that case as well, sermon or number 2 position as well as the tamorim, mikomokom hamuktam b'posuk dahinu laretz rishon yaktim lebracha, the item closer to the first oretz will come before the item closer to the item closest to the first oretz will come before the item closest to the second oretz, because after all is said and done, the item closest to the first oretz is earlier in the pasuk than the item closest to the second oretz. The next tesis of Hiviu lefneim teinim vanovim besoich hasuda. The Gemara, a little less than halfway down, had featured a case of people being served figs and grapes in the middle of a meal, and Rashi had mentioned they're being served not to accompany bread. So Tosfos says the same thing. If we go she'ein boin l'lafis as a pas, they're not coming to accompany the bread, only kinuach suda, but rather as a last course. The Gemara had mentioned in its discussion, we saw that there the Rav Sheshis, he is the one that said that there is nothing that has a bracha before and won't have a bracha after, except for the case of Pasabo B'Kisnin, which, according to this, will have a bracha, a pre-bracha, but it won't have a final bracha. Now that's just as far as a translation is concerned, and when we learned the Gemara, we didn't focus too much on this point, indicating that we would do more focus when learning the Tosfos. So here we are. The Tosfos says, "Ela pasabo bekisnin, the ton bracha lefonav, ve'ein ton bracha liachrov." The Gemara had said it requires a bracha before, but no final bracha. Now, what do you mean it doesn't require a final bracha? That means you just eat it and finish, and you don't say any bracha. However, Tosfos adds, when we say it doesn't require bracha afterwards, it means it doesn't require an elaborate or significant bracha, rak borei nefoshes rabos, Midi dahave a'iris v'doichen, similar to the way we treat rice and doichen. Damrinon li'el betchila mevorach bari minim mezonos ubesof lo klum. This was the language of the Gemara back on Lamed Zayin, which says you make a pre bracha of bari minim mezonos, and at the end no bracha. Hoyol v'nos noi bohen shkedim harbe. Why in the case of the Pasavo Bekisnin, will you not make an ala michi? After all, it's a baked good based on flour. The answer to that is, so Tosis explains, because there are a lot of almonds that are put in, making the almonds so overwhelmingly significant, so it removes the justification for an al hamichya. Upirish Rashi, afilu im ochal mehen achar birchas amozoin koomar. According to Rashi, this statement of it will have a brocha before and no brocha after will apply even in a case where he ate them after, literally after the meal and after the birchas amozon. Veloi nihira, but Tosfos does not like that pshat, and he has two objections, and we've marked them off with double underlines. Chada diamri le'el, first of all, to say that you're not gonna have a brocha afterwards. You're not gonna have a formal ala michi afterwards. In a case where you ate it after Birchas HaMazon, says that doesn't seem likely. Chado, diamrino liel kol sheyesh bocha mechameshes aminim tzorch brocha me'ein shalosh. We have said that anything that has in it one of the five grains, which is the case by the Pasavo B'Kisnin, it will require me'ein shalosh. Seemingly, even if you say there are a lot of almonds in there. V'yoid amai komar kisnin. And why would, if you're going to say this, and there's not going to be a final bracha of ala michya, so why does the Gemara choose the case of kisnin? Lemo nami oiras v'doichen, say by them as well. They have a borei nefashos. Al kain tzorech lefarish demayri besoich hasuda koyim berchas amazon. That the case of the Pasavo B'Kisnin, over which the Gemara says it has a brocha beforehand and it doesn't have a brocha afterwards, is talking about a case where it's brought in the middle of the, it's brought in the meal, maybe toward the end of the meal, but it's before the Birchas HaMazon. And you can see with our markings, we've dashed underlined this Kodim Birchas HaMazon in contrast to the dash underlying a few lines up under Rashi, where he said that the Gemara was talking about a case that was brought after Birchas HaMazon. So it's more likely that it's the case of the Gemara, which says there's no bracha le'achrov, is a case that it was served before the Birchas HaMazon, the Mairi Ba, that the Gemara had been talking about, things brought in the middle of the meal before the Birchas HaMazon. In other words, this would be more in context, the Ochi Ka'omar, and thusly, one is to understand the Gemara, that anything that has a bracha before will necessitate a brocha after, chutz min ha-pasavo b'kisnin, b'soch ha-suda, kodem birchas ha-mazon, with that exception, the ein ton brocha li'achrov, it doesn't require a brocha afterwards at all, including borei nefashos, the potar lei birchas ha-mazon. Birchas ha-mazon will exempt it, afilu l'rav sheshes, even according to Rav Sheshes, who was really into this idea of if you're going to say a brocha before, you're going to have to say a brocha after. Why will Rav Sheshes here acknowledge or relinquish his position? Mishum dahave dover muat, because it's a small amount, so he's going to be eating this this pasavo b'kisnin before the Birchas HaMazon. He'll say a borei minei mazonos over it, not say anything afterwards, and the Birchas HaMazon will cover it. Avol b'loi suda, if it's outside the context of a meal, af li'achrov tzorech levorech me'ein gimel brachas, me'ein shalosh brachas. the whole point of the Gemara is to say that in the meal, so Birchas Hamazon will cover it, but outside of the meal, you'll have to say Me'ein Shalosh. Ulahachi lo noka pas erez v'doichen. And that's why the Gemara made no mention over here of pas erez v'doichen, those things, the rice bread and the doichen bread, Shaharei afilu belo suda, even outside the context of the meal, Ein Srichen Bracha Me'ein Shalosh Nachrov. There is no Me'ein Shalosh in that, in the case of erez v'doichen. Lo kaimalon krav sheshes ela krav huna v'rav Nachman. The Tosis, as far as Psak is concerned, says we're not going to follow Rav Sheshes, but rather we'll go like Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. And we have a little chart on the side of the Gemara, so you can see a little faster that the Rav Huna, his shita, and Rav Nachman goes along with him, says that you will have situations where you'll have a bracha rishona and no bracha chrona, because Birchas Mazon will patur it, where in the same case Rav Sheshes would have said that even though it's going to be before Birchas Hamazon, you still have to make a bracha achrona on those particular items. We're not getting into the detail right now, that you have to go back into the Gemara to see, but Tosfos is saying we're not going to go like Rav Sheshes, rather like Rav Huna, Rav Nachman. D'ein halacha ki yachid b'mokam rabim, we're not going to follow Rav Sheshes, who represents a singular opinion, versus Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, two opinions who constitute a majority. V'yayin poiter kol mine mashkin. We saw in our Gemara that Rabbi Chiya's halacha, you can see this just a line or two up from here in the Gemara, Rabbi Chiya pointed out that pas, bread, paters, a bracha that you make on, the bracha that you make over bread, whether it be before or after, paters all other foods, and yayin, the bracha you make on wine, paters beverages, other beverages. Now, we'll focus right now on the wine issues. The Gemara is saying that the bracha that you make over the wine will exempt all other beverages. L'cha'oiro mayri, at first glance, it would appear, b'yayin b'loy su'uda, we're talking about one drinking wine outside the context of a meal. D'i b'hadi pas, if it's concerning, if we're talking here about a meal with bread, then tepuk lei, the potar lei pas, then the other beverages would have been exempted by the hamotzi, the brocha over the bread. What do you have to talk about the wine exempting other beverages when the bread would have done that? Ta'afilu yayinami rotzolomer ha-sefer besomuch de potur ilav taimo de kaveh brocha liatzmo. Mind you, even wine itself, there was an attempt to say that the bread would have exempted wine, if not for the fact that wine is unique in that it's kaveh brocha liatzmo, as we explained in the Gemara. We're not going to go into that right now, simply saying that wine is not exempted by bread, but only because of its exceptional quality of kaveh brocha liatzmo. But other mashkim, certainly bread would have exempted. So in order to talk about wine exempting other mashkim, elamayri beloy suda, we're talking about outside the context of a meal, vafilu hachi yayin poter. And even so, wine will exempt the other mashkim. Veles hilchaso kavosei. Now here Tosfos says something that arouses the the question of the Marsha, but we're, as we've said earlier today, we're focusing on the Tosfos. The less hilchas kavosei, we're not going to follow Reb Chiya that said yayin paters kol minei mashkim. Sharei mipas poteres, regarding Reb Chiya's ruling on pas poteres, ein halacha kamoisei, we don't follow Rebbe Chiya's ruling, ela kepsak Rav Papa. Rather, we go with Rav Papa's psak, which differs from Rebbe Chiya, im kain, so just like we don't follow Reb Chiya's psak regarding the bread, and we opted for a papa, so im kain dam meha dekomar yayin poter kol minei mashkim les hilchavos kavosei. So since we reject, so to speak, Reb Chiya on the bread issue, we're gonna also reject him on the wine issue. it's on this point that the Marsha raises a question, and we'll simply touch on the question. The answer, we will tell you, go look into the Marsha. But the Marsha's question is very simple. Why would you say such a thing? Just because you don't paskin like him on one point, that means automatically I'm not going to paskin like on the other point? On one point, there's a logic that applies to that that doesn't necessarily apply to the other almost unrelated case. So, as we say, that's the Marsha's Kasha, Ayin, Sham. Look there for his explanation. Hilchasa Dvorim Haboyim Besocha Seuda Machmas Seuda. This is a reference to Rav Papa's section of the Gemara, where he said things that come Machmas Seuda in the middle of the meal. Now, what we have here in this Tosis, he presents Rashi's approach, and then after presenting Rashi, we have with our markings, you can see a series of questions on Rashi's approach. We have triangles and numbered them off. We have three triangles, and eventually we get to the next diamond. After Rashi got the first diamond, he was Pirsha Kuntris. We get to the re later in the Tosis with his approach to this particular line. As we mentioned earlier, and this happens often when we're learning the Gemara in our Gemara Shir, we didn't focus too much on these details, leaving it up to the Tosfos Shir, which we're doing right now. So those who have listened to the Gemara Shir and felt that we were lacking in depth, here is your chance. The Dibur Masul will read again. Hilchos Dvar Maboyim Besoch Hasuda Machmas Hasuda. Things that come in the middle of a meal that are a result or relevant to the meal. Pirush HaKuntres Lelafes Buenas Apas. The things that are Machmas Hasuda would be things that are coming to accompany the bread. That's Lelafes, is something attached to or accompanying one's bread. So Ein Teunin Bracha, they don't require a Bracha. The Havlut Feila, they are subsidiary to the bread. So the Bracha made on the bread exempts these other things. Veloi Nihira. The pshat that Rashi gives here, that the Dvar Maboy Mach Suda Tzach Suda, as Rav Papa says, don't need a bracha, not before nor after. And Rashi says, because they are subsidiary, do I really need Rav Papa to tell me that? Rashi says, Veloni Hira, the Imkein Masnisini. That very information is found in a Mishnah. I don't really need Rav Papa for that. Dimavorech al Ikur Potter Satfela, Umay Komash Malon. So what would Rav Papa be coming to reveal that I wouldn't have known already? The Oid Kashe. The Poruch Besomuch, the Gemara later asks, Yayin Ami Niftere Pas, let the wine be exempted by the bread. Why in the story involving Ben Zoma, in that particular, we'll say, discussion involving Ben Zoma, was it established that wine needs its own bracha? So, umay koshe. So, according to, if we take the Rashi pshat in this Gemara, what grounds is there for even asking that question? V'halo kishishoysin yayin, when you drink wine, eino tfeilo lapas. It's not subsidiary to the bread. Vanan b'midi t'tofel lapas mayrinon. Maybe what we should do is just read over the Ben Zoma example of Gemara, because he's going exactly on this case. Four lines from the bottom in the Gemara, they had asked Ben Zoma, why is it that Dvorim haboy machmas hasuda besoch hasuda einom tunin brocha lofneim v'lochrem? That's our case that we're focusing on right now. So he answered, because the bread exempts them. Now, Rashi's pshat on this, on the bread exempting them, is because those things happen to be tofel. So now, if
that's the pshat in the Gemara, the next question wouldn't make any sense. Of course, the Gemara says, well, then if that's the case, then wine should also be exempted by the bread. But wine isn't tofel to the pas. So there's no grounds for the Gemara asking its question if you accept Rashi's pshat on this matter. V'anan b'midi the tofel of pas, my rinon, according to Rashi. The ain lefaresh lepirush hakuntris, don't say the following, that when the Gemara asks yayin niftere pas, let wine be exempted by bread, is kishishur pita biyeno ko'omar, that's a case where he soaked his bread in the wine, the havele yayin tofel, then the wine certainly is subsidiary. In such a case, there we wouldn't say make the brocha on the wine. We're talking about a case in the Gemara where you do in fact make the brocha on the wine, even though it's in the context of bread. But if it were that case of bread soaked in the wine, there wouldn't be a brocha recited on the wine to begin with. And the Gemara is talking about a case where you will be reciting a brocha on the wine. You have to say that we're talking about a case of his drinking the wine and not soaking bread in wine. So far, using Rashi's pshat in explaining Dvarim Aboyim B'socha Suda Machmas Suda as tofel lapas as or lalafes is a pas and it's exempted because of tofel lapas, doesn't check out. The first question was, what's the chiddush? What would Rav Papa's chiddush be? That's already a Mishnah. And the second problem is that the continuation of the Gemara, when it presents the wine issue, the wine is not a tofel to the pas. The oid koshe mashapirish Rashi. Further problem. That which Rashi explains regarding a different item, Dvarim Haboim Shaloi Machmas Asuda B'Soch Asuda. That was the Beis, the Roman numeral 1 Beis Halacha of Rav Papa. That was things that are coming not Machmas Asuda, but in the middle of the Suda. Kagoin Daisa Utredim Akruv She'enon Shel Lifton Uboin Lozim Lisboa. They're not coming, they're called Shalom Machmas Asud, because they're not coming to accompany the bread, but they are they do provide a satisfaction, satiety to the person that eats it. And it's Teunin Brocha Lifnehem. Regarding this kind of thing, Rav Papa said there is a requirement of a pre-brocha. Why? The lav tfeilo ninhu, they are not subsidiary, they have their own significance. You can't say they're subsidiary to the bread. Umiu pturim b'chas hamazon, demine mazon inu. But yet, Rav Papa said that there is no post bracha, there's no final bracha for them because they will be included in the b'chas hamazon, insofar as they are also called mazon, and b'chas hamazon is an appropriate bracha for them. That's all Rashi's pshat, veloi nihira. Doesn't seem acceptable. The Amrinon b'masnisen, the Mishnah says later, on daf membeis, beirach al hapas, potar es hapaperes. If one made a brocha on bread, potar, we've dashed on line potar, it exempts parperes, more of varish, duadin kol maisikdera. That the brocha on the pas will exempt all cooked dishes, and that includes daisa. Notice we've squiggled here maisikdera and wrote in daisa, and two lines above we also squiggle on daisa. We squiggle on that as Rashi's pshat, explaining something that will require a brocha beforehand, when that pshat will now run up against the Mishnah that says the same item will not require a brocha beforehand because the pas does exempt it. And continued, we go on here with another quote from Rav Papa, Udvarim horegilin lavo la'achar hasuda. This was what we have in our markings as under Rav Papa's name, Roman numeral number 2. Pirush Rashi, kamo peiros. Rashi explained, what is that that comes la'achar hasuda? So something like fruit. Va'filu hivi oisun besoch hasuda shelo machmas lifton. Even if the fruit was served in the middle of the meal, but without the purpose of accompanying the bread, to'unin brocha ben lifneim. There, Rashi says there will be a brocha requirement before. Why? Before the fruit, because the laft feiloninu, it's not exempted by the bread, because it's not considered subsidiary to the bread. Ubein lachreim, the fruit will require a post brocha, even though he hasn't said brichas amozon yet. The fruit has its own post brocha. The ain brichas amozon potrasa, the laft mozon ninu. The brichas amozon will not exempt them because they are not considered mozon. They're not coming to create satisfaction. They're rather coming to give the person a good feeling. The hainu. Rav Sheshes, this explanation conforms to Rav Sheshes, the Omerli Ale, Heviu Lefonov, Te'enim Urimonim Besocha Suda. Rav Sheshes had said this point, that if Te'enim and Rimonim were brought to him in the middle of a meal, Tudimbrocha Ben Lefonim Ben Achrayim, that they would generate or require Brocha before and after, Vahave the Lo Kehilchasa. This whole pshat that Rashi is giving in the case of Dvorim Gilim Lavo Achar Suda that Rav Papa is presenting, Rashi gives you a pshat based, which essentially reflects Rav Sheshes' opinion regarding Rashi's example, and that's Shelo Kilsa. Notice we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the text. You can align this with a star that appears higher up on the page where Tosis made this very point. And he makes it again over here, that is not kill. So the Kaimalon Karav Nachman Ukarav Huna Kid Precious Liel. The Precious Liel is a reference. We try to explain that through our little star. Alkain Pirish Ri. So after this, we'll call this barrage of attacks on Rashi's approach to this section of Gemara, we come to the Re. Dvorim haboye machmas asuda besoch asuda. This is now, we're going back to the beginning of Rav Papa. On this point, once again, just to remind ourselves, Rashi had used the tofel, the things that are tofel to the bread. The Re says, Klomar, horigilin lovoi machmas hasuda, bepas, shrigil lochlonim apas. This is a reference to food items that people ordinarily eat in a bread meal together with their bread. Kigon, bosar, vidogim, vichomine kedera, like meat, fish, and other cooked goods, cooked foodstuffs. Vehevion besochasuda, and they were served in the middle of a meal. Ein tunin brocha lefneim lachreim, afilu ochlon besochasuda befnei asma belo pas. And here we've dashed underline this. This is where the Re departs from Rashi. These are food items that you eat in the middle of a meal, even without bread. In other words, not coming lelafes as a pas, to eat it together with the bread, like dips, where you dip the bread into something, or you put slices of whatever on the bread and eat it together with the bread. No, even if you're not eating it with the bread, the came of the mishum pas hein boyim ha pas potrosum. Since they're coming because of a meal that you started off with bread, that's coming because of the bread. But the main point here is it's not coming. It's something that you will eat even without eating it together with the bread. The bread exempts it. Avol, dvorim she'ein darken lovo besoch hasuda. Things that wouldn't ordinarily come in the middle of a meal. Kigon, tamarim, rimonim, shaar kol peros, dates, and pomegranates, and all other kinds of fruits. She'ein regilin lelafes bohen esapas. Things that you wouldn't ordinarily eat together with bread. Te'unin brocha lifnehem. They will require a brocha beforehand. Now, here we have to be very careful. Rashi also cited in explaining the sugya, he made reference to the tamarim and the rimonim, but he attached that to the phrase of dvorim horegilim lavo la'achar hasuda. the re is employing tamorim and rimonim. And using that to illustrate the dvorim she'ein darken lova b'such hasuda, which is he's using this to explain a different phrase of Rav Papa. And now this v'hainu k'rav Nachman u'k'rav Huna li'el, by saying regarding dvorim she'ein darken lova b'such hasuda like tamorim rimonim, you will have to make a bracha before. This does conform to Rav Nachman and Rav Huna before in the Gemara. The Amri, they said the Teunin bracha lifneim, the loy lachrem. Notice we've dashed on a v'lo lachrem. This is where the Ri's pshat is felt to be stronger than Rashi, because here the Ri's pshat is giving us an Ezra of the Gemara that works out like Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, which says you do make a bracha before, but not afterwards. Unlike Rashi, when he employed the Rimonim and Te'enim example regarding the Dvarim Harigun Lova Li Achara Suda, and then explaining that you'll have to make a bracha before and after as well, and that was felt to be Shaloi Kehalocha. So what we saw in this Tosfos was a very thorough dissection, if you will, of Rav Papa's ruling. First, Tosfos presenting Rashi's pshat, and then showing a number of difficulties with Rashi's pshat in Rav Papa's halacha. Then the Tosfos introduced the Ri's pshat, explaining couple of the different parts of Rav Papa's teaching. We continue the next Tosfos. La'achar hasuda garsinon v'sulo. This is in the Gemara, five lines from the end of the daf, where the Gemara says shalos ben zoyma mitneima omru dvorim haboyim mach masuda b'socha suda. Let's correct ourselves. We're referring to the a phrase in the Gemara that's actually six lines before the end of the daf, where Gemara had mentioned as at the end of Rav Papa's presentation, where he said Hilchasa, and then he said La'achar Asuda Tunin Bracha Bein Lefnei Bein Lachrayim. So Tosfos will explain his opinion onto what this is, what Rav Papa is referring when he speaks about Li'achar HaSeuda. He says that you read in the Gemara Li'achar HaSeuda and V'sulo and V'lo Garsinon, you don't read over here Dvorim HaBoyim. In other words, at the beginning of Rav Papa's presentation, we have our long point. He began by saying Hilchasa. He said Dvorim HaBoim and Machmas HaSuda B'soch HaSuda. And then you would take that Dvorim HaBoim Machmas HaSuda, and you would take the expression Dvorim HaBoim and read it over here Li'achar HaSuda. In other words, the Dvorim HaBoim expression appeared already, so you don't have to have it in the Girsa of the Gemara again before this phrase of Li'achar HaSeuda. So he's saying V'lo garsinon dvorim haboyim b'hach seifa v'hachi pirusho, and thusly we are to understand Rav Papa's teaching. Im heviu dvorim shehizkarnu, if the items that were mentioned before, we mentioned before things that were Machmas HaSuda and Shalom Machmas HaSuda as part of Rav Papa under our Roman numeral number 1. We had in our markings, Rav Papa had Roman numeral number 1, and we had Aleph and Beis. So we're referring to the Aleph and Beis above under Roman numeral number 1. So if those items that we mentioned under Roman numeral 1, A and Aleph and Beis, and they were brought achar hasuda pirush li achar shemoshchus yidei min apas, What does it mean, lachar asuda? It means after they finished eating the bread, they've withdrawn their hands from eating bread. Shuv ein hapas pedrosin klal. Then the bread will not exempt them at all. And then it comes out that it's as if he's eating it outside of the context of the meal. Whether it be the we call the aleph items, things that ordinarily come machmas asuda, even and certainly those things that are not ordinarily part of meals. Rav Pop is telling you then that if they are coming after Moshe Yudem and Apas, not only will we have to make a bracha before, but you'll have to make a bracha afterwards as well. The akol dvorim d'leo koi. This, what we have in our markings as Roman numeral number 2, is a throwback to everything mentioned under Roman numeral number 1. The achshav, now, Tosfos brings things down to more of a nowadays chat. When we speak nowadays, Tosfos, of course, was 800 years ago, but it's more contemporary than what the Gemara, than the time period of the Gemara. Tosfos says, V'achshav ein lonu din zeh. We don't have this din, part of this idea of withdrawing, at a point in the meal where we withdraw from the bread. People don't withdraw from the bread until after Birchas HaMazon. In other words, people will be eating bread, nibbling on bread, and interested in their bread till the very end, till they start and finish the Birchas HaMazon. But as long as we're eating, even if it's fruit or other things, and you're before Birchas HaMazon, Daitenu Lechol Pas Kol Shah. Our mind is on the bread also. So what Tosfos seems to be describing is a situation, and once again we've emphasized this so many times in Gemara markings, we are not attempting to dictate or preach Halacha L'maisa, but simply to give scenarios to arouse your curiosity. So that what it sounds like he's referring to is that even if people are eating what they call the last course, they're eating fruit or ice cream or compote or whatever is served as a last course, as long as you're before Birchas HaMazon, our mind is still, even after that bowl of ice cream, a person will take a slice of bread. And as a result of that, then the need for a bracha afterwards even the bracha before and afterwards comes into question, because we're always involved with bread in our minds. So that the argument that was, or the hesber given for Rav Papa's din, was people have withdrawn from the bread, hence the bread is not effective at all. That wouldn't apply to us because our mind is still on the bread. The kaimalon, the Tosfos says, the kaimalon kipsak derav papa. Now, this is interesting. Does that mean that we still will hold like Rav Papa, lock, stock, and barrel, or is he saying this up till the last point of Rav Papa regarding the la'achar ha'seuda? Tosfos had just said two lines before this that the achshav ein lonu din zeh, the ein minig shalano, etc. And then here at the end of the Tosfos says v'kaimalon kipsak derav papa, leaving us a little bit hanging. How far does Tosfos want us to go when he says we hold like the psak derav papa? What we can say with some degree of certainty is that Tosfos is certainly going to rule like the early part of Rav Papa under Roman numeral number 1, Aleph and Beis. But as far as Roman numeral number 2, and particularly the idea of requiring a brocha afterwards, that we'll have to leave as something to research further. The next Tosfos, Ihochi, Yayin Nami Niftere Pas, the point toward the end of the Omid, after they asked Ben Zoma, why is it that things that come Achmas HaSuda within the Suda don't need a bracha, not before nor after? So he said, well, Pas exempts them. Well, if Pas exempts them, so why is it that we make brachas on wine? Shouldn't the bread exempt the wine also? Yachi yayin ami niftere Pas, devala yayin machmas Suda. See, it's certainly arguable that wine comes machmas HaSuda as a result of the meal. Shu shoyse kam upomim, he drinks a number of cups of wine during the meal. De'ilav HaSuda lo yishtel, he wouldn't be drinking the wine, you know, so many cups of wine if he wasn't eating a meal. The lifterei pas, so let the bread in fact exempt the wine. What Tosis is explaining, what the background, or the explaining the question, the logic behind the question. Umeshani, and the Gemara then answers. So then why is it that we make a bracha on the wine in the middle of the meal? Umeshani shiny yayin begorim bracha liatzmo. Wine is different in so far that it's gorim bracha liatzmo. And what does that mean? So we will feature Rashi's pshat. Tosfos brings in Rashi's pshat, and then he will bring the Rashba's pshat, and we've marked them off with little house markings 1 and 2. So Pirush Rashi, the Baharbe Mekoymos Hu Ba. There are many examples of wine coming. Umevorchano of Afopisha Ain Trichim Lishtos, that wine is so unique in that we'll make a Bori Priya Geffen over the wine, even though there's no need to drink it. Kagoin, Bekiddush, Ubebirchas Erusin, as is the case when we recite Kiddush. The point of Kiddush is to recite the Kiddush over a cup of wine. Birchas Erusin, that is when a marriage is taking place, a cup of wine is held, and we're making a Bori Priya Geffen, even though there is no requirement, per se, of having to drink the wine. So you see that wine generates a bracha of Bori Priya Geffen regardless of the drinking aspect of it. Therefore, if wine appears in a meal, it gets its own bracha. For Rashi Bo Pirush, Mishum Ditzorach Levorach Al Hayayin Bori Priya Geffen. What does it mean? It has its own bracha liatzmo. The lashon of the Gemara was that it's gorim bracha liatzmo. It is because it has a unique beverage bracha laatzmo, its own bracha. Ubetchila k'shuba anovim bori preitz, when it was in the fruit and when it was in the grape state, it was a bori preitz was recited. When it was made into wine, you would say bori preitz geffen. Al shar mashkim shakol niyevot boro. Other beverages, when they're extracted from their fruits, they get a shakol niyevot, so that the bracha liatzmo is that it has a unique bracha. And that aspect, that feature of wine, makes it such that it has its own bracha even in the context of a meal. Umiu omer Rabbeinu Tam. And now we have a presentation of Rabbeinu Tam, and he'll be presented in contrast to the Machzer Vitri. Hence we've marked Rabbeinu Tam Aleph and Master Vitri Beis with a different shape, a little crown shape. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, the Bishar Mashkim Kemo Mayim B'Shechor Boi Machmas Suda, other kinds of beverages other than wine that come as part of the meal, Pas Potrosan, wine will, the bracha on the bread will certainly exempt them from a need for a bracha. Dafilu yayin ha'ava poter, even wine would have been exempted by the bread. Ilav the kaveh bracha liatzmo, if not for this particular svora of kaveh bracha liatzmo. Udaloi kamazer vitri. The Rabbeinu Tam is not like the Machzer Vitri. Machzer Vitri was a student of Rashi. Shekosav, the Machzer Vitri writes, shemevorchin limayim bracha b'chol pam u'pam fiu b'zoch suda. Every cup of water that a person drinks in the middle of a meal will get its own bracha. Emphasis even in the middle of a meal. Dave k'nimlach uba. It's nimlach is an expression that we'll see in the next adapim of Gemara, where a person after drinking something, he thinks that's it, and then he decides, oh, I want to drink again. That's nimlach uba. So each time it's like a new drinking. Delo porich hocha miyayin, the Gemara, when it says, well, niftarei pas, shouldn't bread exempt it? So the question of the Gemara is only regarding the wine. This is all the Machzor Vitri's pshatit. Shouldn't the wine be exempted? The lo parichacha miyayin, elo mishum diayin zayin. Only because the wine is very close to the bread in that it is a sustaining type beverage. It's zayin from where, like mazon or zon. Mishum diayin zayin. It has this nutritious and sustaining quality to it, like bread. So if you made a broch on the bread, so shouldn't that cover something similar to it? Avo mayim lo zayini, but water doesn't have that nutritious aspect to it. Kinomar, as we learned back on that Lamed Heimud Beis, a quote from a Mishnah in Maseches Nidorim, Hanoider min ha-mozoin, if a person forswore benefit from mozoin, he doesn't want to benefit from things that are categorized as mozon. And what does it say? Mutar b'mayim u'melach. It says he's allowed to partake of water, showing how water is so distinct from mozon. Upshita de lo potaluhu pas. The Machzor Vitri goes to the other extreme. He says it's so obvious that the bracha over bread will not exempt the water. De eino b'chlal b'chas pas. Because it's so different, it's so distinct from the bracha you made over bread, insofar as that bread is zayin, is mozoin, and water is not. So you see here at the end quite an extreme machlokus between Rabbeinu Tam, Machzor Vitri, vis-a-vis, let us focus on a cup of water drunk in the middle of a meal. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that will be covered by the hamotzi, and according to Machzor Vitri, it will not. Tosfos continues at the top of Daf Mem Beis Omel Aleph. Mihu Riv Rabbeinu Tam Hoyu Oimrim. Unlike the Machzor Vitri, Shelo Levorech Klal Hashar Mashkim Aboyim B'soch Hasuda, not to make brochas on other beverages that you're drinking in the middle of a meal. The taima, and the reason being, the pas poteres kol advorim aboyim b'shvila, that the bread exempts everything that comes for it. V'hashto yayin poter kol minei mashkim. We can also say that wine exempts all other kinds of beverages. Ufi she'ikr mashkehu v'roish l'chol minei mashkim, because it is a central, it is the main, it is the most important beverage. And as Tosis calls it, the roish, the head of all other beverages, ulekach hu ha'ikr v'hein tfeilin lo linyan brocha. Therefore, if you made a brocha on wine and you're having other beverages, don't make a brocha on the other beverages. They are considered subsidiary to the wine. V'hilkoch mashkin aboin machmas hasuda, sheboin b'shvil hapas, lishros ha'maychol. Therefore, beverages that you are drinking as part of a meal, in order to have the food soak, so to speak, inside one's stomach, so the food that you ate will be sitting in the beverage that you're drinking. The gam yevshel achila bloshtia. It's also very difficult, or it's impossible to eat without also drinking. Vilkach pas patrosan, therefore the bread, brocha, the hamotzi, exempts them. Chutz min hayayin, kida omar, Gemara time, except for wine, where the Gemara already gave the reason of its goreim brocha liatzmo. That was stated by the wine. Ulahai taimo nicho. Now here, Tosis makes a point, and it's a long point. We've indicated that with our long point marking till the end of the Tosis. And based on this, ulahai taimo nicho, with this esber, with this explanation, it's then resolved. Masha'onu mevorchem bePesach al hachazeres. Chazeres is the moror. Chazeres is associated with the lettuce, the lettuce that we eat for moror. That which we make a brocha when we come to the moror. What do we say? We say al achilas moror. We say asher kishon v'sason al achilas moror levad. We say that's all we say, and then we go ahead and eat the moror. What about bori pri adoma? And we just have to mention that what you the
bracha on the moror is made after you made a bracha already on the matzah. In the Seder night, we eat our kezesim of matzah, and the next thing we do is eat the moror. And when we come to the moror, what do? We say ala achilas moror. When we don't make a borei pri adama over the moror, sha'olam makshim li. Everyone asks, amayin mevorchim nami borei pri adama? Why don't we say a borei pri adama? Now, here we have three lines in brackets. If you skip them, it makes the reading a little easier. The reason that we don't make a borei pri adama is kevan derachmona kavi choyva. And since the Torah established the moror as a requirement, the Torah says you have to eat your matzah with the moror. So havi kamo dvorim hergim shel luvo machmas asuda. The pas, potrosin, makes it like a part of the meal. The fact that the Torah said, even though in your mind's eye, well, the moror isn't really part of the meal, but since the Torah said you have to eat the moror with the matzah, that makes it like part of the meal. And the hamotzi, the broch over the matzah, the pas, potters it, exempts it. Let's go over this last section. We did skip a couple of lines, but we did so to make the reading easier. We'll go back to where Tosfos says Sheha'olam Makshim. The last one on line Sheha'olam, the Sheha'olam Makshim. The world asks, Amayim Mevorchen Nami Borei Pri Adama? Why don't you make after you when you finish the Amotzi, you then go to the Moror? We say Asher Kshem Sutzanu Alchis Moror. Why don't you make a Borei Pri Adama? Ube Borei Pri Adama Dishar Yerokas. This is going back to the Karpas. Okay, we made a borei pri adama on the karpas. So you'll say, you already made a borei pri adama. Ain't no polter. That wouldn't even work to exempt the moror, the chazeres. From the karpas till you get to the moror, you know what? You've gone through the Haggadah, you've said Hallel, your mind is no longer on, you have a hesech hadas, your mind is no longer on the bruch of borei pri adama that you said over the karpas. So that wouldn't be an explanation of why we don't say borei pri adama on the moror to rely on that. That's a thing of the past. Who's already meisiach das from that? So why is it then that we don't make another borei pri adama on the moror? So Tosfos explained elavale taimo. The reason is since the Torah established moror, the chazeres, as a requirement, al matzis moror yichud. The pasuk says you shall eat the korban pesach with the matzis and moror. Havi kamol dvarim ugim lavo machmasu. That makes it like something part of a meal. So even as we said, even if you don't view it as something part of the meal, the Torah's requirement of having the moror as part of the korban pesach with the matzah, it's like part of the meal. The pas, potros, regarding things like that, bread exempts. The broch on the bread exempts, and that's why there's no additional borei pri adama over the moror. With that, we conclude our Tosfos Daf Yomi Shir for today.